Welcome to a World of Good podcast. I'm Nate Tatman.
And I'm Andrew Gale.
And we are two friends
who love Jesus,
care about the church,
and travel the world to share stories of people who do the same.
Our conversations happen in all kinds of places,
like a coffee shop in an airport terminal,
or even the back of a crowded taxi.
But no matter where we go, from Argentina to Zimbabwe,
we capture stories of the good God is doing around the world.
And we hope those stories will do you a world of good.
Welcome to a World of Good podcast. My name is Nate Tatman, and I am sitting here in Germany at the German Pastors Retreat, and we've already had one interview, and I'm not sure exactly when this is going to air, but this interview took place in November of 2021. I had the awesome privilege, or have the awesome privilege, of speaking with Sebastian Scalonia. Did I get that right?
Yeah, exactly. Perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yes. I'm trying. I need to say it with my Italian accent. Sebastian Scalonia.
Scalonia like Bologna.
Scalonia like Bologna. I love it. Well, Sebastian, thank you for joining me and being here. And I interviewed Tilman Fry last evening. And
he lives in the same city as I do?
He does.
In Wolfsburg.
That's right.
In Wolfsburg. Yeah, in the city of Volkswagen.
Yes, that's where the Volkswagens are made.
Exactly,
and,
yes.
That's right. I'm glad you made that connection. And just so our listeners know, because I know you're kind of nervous about it a little bit, but English is not your first language.
No, not my first and not my second
it's
language.
It's not your so, second.
First of all, I want to say thank you very much to let me be here.
Yeah.
So I'm really honored that you asked me. It's a pleasure to get to know you.
Yeah, thank you.
It's a very nice atmosphere, and thank you for being on this podcast.
Yeah, thank you.
So English is my third language.
Your third language.
Yeah, I studied at school, and we have bilingual classes in geography and also in history. And now I like to listen very much to English speakers. So listening, my listening quality is better than my speaking quality. So I want to apologize now for all the words that I'm lacking.
No worries. What do you listen to in English? TV shows or podcasts?
No, I listen to podcasts. I listen to YouTube sermons.
Okay.
Leadership sermons and leadership podcasts.
Yeah.
I love it.
Who are some of your most helpful leadership? You're some of the most helpful leaders who you like to listen to on the topic of leadership.
I listen to Patrick Lencioni. I love to listen to Craig Rochelle.
Yeah. Those are two great. They are always producing content on leadership
and good content.
And
they help me a lot for my calling.
Yeah, very good. And we'll get into that for sure. And so going back to the language thing. So you grew up here in Germany.
Yes.
In
Wolfsburg.
In Wolfsburg.
You know,
my
parents came here in the 70s. So both are immigrants, and they came here because in Italian, there was no work. So, and my dad came here with 17 years.
Okay. Wow.
So, and then he started to work at the Volkswagen company. And then he got to know my mom.
Okay.
Was the daughter of an Italian immigrant.
Okay.
Who came in his 60s. He was 60, maybe.
Wow.
No, 60. Oh, my grandfather was 40.
Wow.
So he came to Germany to work and brought his family here.
Okay.
And there was a small village in Wolfsburg where all the Italians were put in. So and there they met. It was a small Italian island.
In
Wolfsburg.
Little Italy.
Little Italy in Wolfsburg. Yeah. And in the 60s in Wolfsburg, we had 14,000 Italians.
Really?
Yeah.
That's a small town, a small city.
Small city with 122,000 inhabitants. And then 14,000 Italian. Right now we have 5,000.
Okay. So your parents came here with their family, with their parents.
My mom. My dad came alone.
Your dad
with his brothers.
As a 17-year-old, he traveled and moved to a different country on his own.
Yeah, he had no chances to work, to develop, because he is from a big family. He had eight brothers and sisters. So he had to choose, what shall I do?
Yeah.
I have to eat something.
Yeah.
So I go to Germany.
And you said he came with some of his brothers?
Yes, with two brothers.
Okay, with two brothers. And so he wasn't entirely alone. At least there was the three of them.
No. And then there were all the other Italian guys.
Yeah. It probably felt like home after he got here.
We had the barbershop, Italian supermarket, everything.
And where was your family from in Italy?
My father's from Sicily.
Okay.
And my mom is from Apulia.
Wow.
From the hill. You call it the hill?
Yeah. And so it wasn't even, from what I've heard and from what I'm learning, it wasn't even just that they were from Italy, but they're from Southern Italy, which is in some ways a much different culture than other parts of Italy, Central and Northern Italy. I mean, Italy, all up and down the boot, if you will, has kind of a different culture in each kind of region and section.
Yes,
correct?
You're right. And the Italians, the South Italian would say Italian starts below Naples. And the Northern Italians say all the dumb people live south of Naples.
So there's this kind of back and forth. Huh?
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. Sicily, I was able to travel there once, and it's very beautiful. Very beautiful there.
It's beautiful. It's hot.
Yeah.
Nice people. Good weather.
Yeah.
And good food.
Yeah.
Yeah. What? I go once a year to Sicily to visit my mom. She lives there at the beach.
Yeah. And what food do you crave the most? What Italian food, food from home, do you crave the most?
Pasta. And pizza.
That's everything.
Yeah, and I cook by myself. I love to cook.
Yeah?
Yeah, I can relax by cooking.
Okay. Yeah. That's one of your stress relievers, huh?
Yes, yes.
Perfect. So you grew up in a home speaking just Italian.
Yes.
Until you were four and you started school.
Mm-hmm.
And so Italian, you grew up in Germany, but Italian was your first language.
Yes, my first language. And now it is my second language because at school, at kindergarten, I only spoke German.
Yeah.
So, and my whole day is filled with German words.
Mm-hmm.
So Italian is only a small part.
Mm-hmm.
When I visit my dad, then we speak Italian or Sicilian.
It's
a dialect.
It's different. It's different, a little bit different.
Yeah, it's different, of course.
Yeah.
So when I talk with my children, I have two children, two boys, six and two.
Uh-huh.
One is called Levi and the second is called Jesse. You call it Jesse in English.
Yeah.
And I speak Italian with both guys. Uh-huh. Guys, you say guys, my sons, yeah.
Yeah.
I try to give them a good start
with
the Roman languages.
Yeah.
And I hope they will speak Spanish one day, French, and whatever.
And your wife? Is your wife from Germany?
My wife, Mary, she is from Germany. She's original German, a German village.
And how did you guys meet?
Wanna listen, or you wanna have the spiritual answer or the real?
Maybe somewhere in between. Is there a middle?
I met her at the discotheque,
at
the bar.
Yeah,
yeah. In a time where clubbing was my life.
Yeah.
And I met her and I said, it's a beautiful girl, but she was engaged with another guy.
Wow.
And I didn't look at her because of the Italian respect.
Yep.
Said, you can look at the girl from another guy. And she said, she told me afterwards, what kind of an arrogant guy. He didn't watch, he'd look at me. And I said, yeah, because I'm respectful, not because I'm arrogant, yeah? Okay, and then...
Signals got mixed there, huh?
Then she started to be interested in me, and and then we met.
Very good. And how long have you guys been married?
13 years.
Wow.
13 years, and we have two sons.
And two sons. Levi and Jesse. And so you're a pastor at a church?
I'm a pastor since 10 years right now.
Okay.
At the church where I met Jesus.
How did you meet Jesus?
It was in 2002, at the end of 2002.
Mm-hmm.
I can say that if you would see me at this time, you would say, oh, he is a good football player. He has a good job at Volkswagen. He is surrounded by nice people, nice guys. He must be very fulfilled.
Mm.
But I was so empty. And nobody knows or nobody knew it. In my heart, I was bleeding. And I had an uncle who he was, we call it the housemaster. He was the housekeeper of our church or the, how you call it? The one who looks after the building. And
maintenance. Manager of the facility.
Exactly. Facility manager, exactly. Yeah. And he was living next to the church.
Okay.
And every time he saw me, he said, Sebastian, you need Jesus. You need Jesus. And I said, no, I don't need Jesus. I need more party. I need more alcohol. I need more girls. Wow. I need more of all of this.
Yeah.
And he said, no, no. You are not right. He said, you need Jesus.
And how old were you? Like what time, what age period was this
for you?
It was
2003. I was 21.
21, okay.
21.
Yeah.
There came the, I can't exactly say like it happened, but I was feeling very empty every night I went to bed. Because after clubbing, after party, after being drunk, I was asking myself, is this everything? Is this life? If you die tomorrow, what will happen? What did you leave in this world? First, I tried to avoid all those, not thinking, how you say it?
The voices in your head?
Yes, or, exactly. Okay. The voices in my head. I tried to let them be still with more alcohol, with more clubbing. But it didn't work out.
And did you have in your house growing up, did you guys go to church?
No.
Did you have any type of a Christian upbringing? So your uncle...
My uncle, Michele. I have to say his name because he helped me a lot.
Uncle Michele.
Uncle Michele. He was, you can say, he said, the Jehovah Witnesses, they go on my nerves, or they went on my nerves at work. And then he started to read his Bible by his own, and then he converted to Christ. And then he started to talk to every creature, every creature he saw, he met, said, you have to convert to Jesus.
Wow.
So, and then he started with the family also. And I was one of them. I was the son, the oldest son of his oldest sister. So when he talked to me first, I said, I didn't want to listen. But then 2 years later, I started to read a book which he gave me. It's called Jesus, My Destiny. I started to read. I started to have a lot of questions. And then I said, this was the best moment of my life. I opened up the Bible. A Bible which a friend of mine gave me one day because she said, you know, I don't need this Bible. I will not read it. I said, you know what? I think this book will help me one day. And on the first page, her teacher has wrote something. There was written, I believe in the sun, even it's not shining. I believe in love, even if I don't sense it, or something. I believe in God, even I can see him. And I said, yes, I would like to believe in this God, because I believed in some kind of God. When I was a kid, I went to Catholic church and I helped the priest to do the, how you call it?
The communion.
The communion, the service.
Yeah.
I helped him. So there was an affinity to God, some desire to know who is he. And when I read the book and then start to read the Bible, I fell in love with Jesus. And that's what I'm telling all the people. Say, what happened to you, Sebastian? One day I met a former classmate. She said, only God could have changed you. I said, thank you. That's a big compliment.
Well,
for
since
my
you
God.
Mentioned it, yeah.
So you know what kind of guy I was.
Wow.
So only God could change it. Yeah, and then reading the Bible and I fell in love with Jesus because I saw he had a kind of love I've never experienced in this world.
And where did the church come in to that? When you changed your life and started following Christ?
That's a good question. That's a really good question. You know, I had some troubles when I was young with a boyfriend of a good friend of mine. He started to persecute me. Mm. And it was on a Saturday. It was on a Saturday. My uncle, who lives at the church, was celebrating birthday. Mm-hmm. And I was there totally scared of the guy who was persecuting me. And my uncle told me, hey, why don't you visit the youth group who's meeting right now? And I said, I don't need this youth group. They will tell me don't have sex before the marriage. Don't drink. Don't go climbing. I don't need these guys. He said, try it. Go there. And then something really special happened, Nate. I went downstairs to the room where the youth group was meeting, and I felt a kind of warm love surrounding me. Mm. It was a game changer in my life. And I was thinking, what kind of drugs are you taking? Yeah, what kind of drugs? What are you doing here? I want to have the same feeling.
Yeah.
More and more. And then I asked them, what are you doing here? And they say, hey, Sebastian, it's nice to see you here. We are praying for you since 2 years.
Oh, my word.
And then I start weeping. I said, why are you throwing away your time, wasting your time to pray for a guy like me? And they said, because we have the desire that you got to know Christ. Mm. And then I started visiting this group. And then a pastor called George Schuller, he's Goliath, he's a big man, he's here also. He explained me how I receive forgiveness for my sins. And you know, Nate, I was really scared of dying and then standing before God and explain to him about all my sins. And I knew that I've done a lot of sins, a lot of mistakes. I've hurt so many people. Mm-hmm. And then he spoke about the cross. And I said nothing to him, but I went home. And then I bowed down on my knees in front of my window. I looked in the sky and I said, Jesus, please forgive my sins. I want to have this burden on my shoulders anymore. I'm broken. Mm. Please forgive me. And this was the moment I felt for the first time a release of weight from my body. Mm. I wasn't scared anymore to die because someone has paid for me for my sins. And then I never asked myself again, what is the sense of this life? You call it sense?
Mm-hmm. Sense or purpose?
The purpose.
The purpose What's of your
is,
life.
What is my purpose? Since this day, it was at the end of 2002, I knew my purpose is to live and honor God, to live with God and to honor Him. Mm.
Wow. And so from there, how did you get from that point to now being a pastor?
Oh, it was a long run. Then I started to attend youth group and the church service. Mm-hmm. So I remember when a lady who was selling the books at the church, Bibles and all kind of other books, she said, do you want to buy a Bible, Sebastian? I said, no. I'm new here and I don't know if you have the real Bible here. Maybe you try to convince me, this Jesus guy, I love Jesus, but I'm not sure if this church is doing things right. So I was skeptical?
Yeah.
So
is that an Italian skepticism or
no, I don't know. I was afraid, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe it was the devil who was talking to me. No, never buy a Bible here.
Yeah. So interesting.
Then I said, I want to go to a bookstore and buy a Bible there because they won't betray me. Mm. They are neutral. Mm-hmm. So I went there, I said, I need a Bible which every stupid teenager will understand. And they said, oh, we have here the Hoffnung für alle. It's in translation means hope for everybody. And then I saw the booklet, the book. I say, oh, it's the same Bible
that the lady
that
was trying to
give me.
To sell you, yeah.
So, and then I started to read. I started to read every day because my purpose was to convince all of my friends that they need Jesus. So, and then I wrote everything down in the Bible in the back. Alcohol, clubbing, sexuality, a moral issue. And because I wanted to have Bible verses to speak with my friends. Mm-hmm. And then I spoke with a lot of friends. And some of them said, you are really crazy. You are on drugs. Or you've lost your mind. Say, yeah, maybe. I've lost my heart. I said, I gave it to someone. And then after reading a lot and attending church a lot, which helps a lot, maybe some young guys are listening, Bible and service. So the elders of the church said, hey, why don't you think about something special? I said, what? Going to Bible college, Bible school. We see that there is some kind of calling on your life. You are gifted in explaining the Bible. I don't know if I'm really gifted because my first sermon for the youth group was 1 hour and 45 minutes.
Oh, my word. Almost 2 hours.
Yeah, it was almost so. And some of them were, yeah, they went into to cinema. They went to a bar. They said, you're horrible. Because I want to say everything to you.
Everything, yeah.
Everything.
So. Yeah, yeah.
But this voice of the elders touched me.
Mm.
This go to Bible college and try maybe. But the problem was I was working for VW. And you know, all the immigrants were happy if they were working at the production line.
Yeah, yeah, the assembly line.
Assembly line.
Yeah.
So, and I was not working on the assembly line because I studied at school.
Mm-hmm.
And then I played a few years for the youth group of a professional team in Wolfsburg, mm-hmm. which is sponsored by VW.
Mm.
So they...
And this was what sport?
Football.
Football.
Call it soccer.
Of course. Yes. Yes.
And my coach helped me a little bit in terms of working.
Got you a nice position.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, for my father, it was a shock. When I told him that I'm leaving, I'm thinking about leaving Volkswagen to go to Bible college. And he said, you are crazy.
Mm.
You are crazy. Send someone else to preach. Someone else should become the priest of this church. Maybe your uncle, he's crazier than you. And he said, if you leave VW, there will be no heritage.
Mm-hmm.
You call it heritage when someone dies and...
Inheritance.
Inheritance.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like the...
Inheritance.
Yeah. Genau. He said...
Wow.
He said, no inheritance for you.
Wow. From him.
Yeah, yeah. From him.
From him.
And then...
He was cutting you off.
I will cut you off.
Wow.
So, and my mom said, if you will leave us here in Wolfsburg to go to Fritzlar, which is the epicenter mm-hmm. of
mm-hmm. yeah.
spirituality in Germany
yeah.
for us, Church of
yeah,
God.
For the Church
it's
of
like
God.
Anderson.
It's the Mecca.
Yeah, it's the Mecca. She said, if you will leave us, we will leave you alone here in Germany. We will leave to Italy.
Wow.
Forever. And at this time, I had a younger brother. He was 17 years younger than me. And there was a special relation because he was like my little son.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I played with him and I was the older brother. And everywhere I took him, he said, oh, you are a dad. You are a young dad. So I had to fight a lot of battles.
Wow.
Not only to leave my job, which was very, very good paid.
And you were not just good paid, but you were set up for the rest of your life.
Yes, for the rest of my life. I had a better job than all the Italian guys.
Yeah.
So at the same time, I was playing soccer and mm-hmm. getting money for playing soccer because I was talented.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to leave a few things behind.
Your career at Volkswagen, potential career in wherever that would have led it, in terms of soccer, and who knows at what level that could have led to.
Exactly.
And it was and then your family.
And my family. It was a big, big sacrifice. Wow. So when I tell the story now, I'm full of peace. Because, but at this time, it was heartbreaking for me.
Yeah. At what age was that?
I was 25.
Yeah.
It was 2006. It
That's
was
a big decision at that age.
I was 25. Yeah. And the story how God convinced me to go there is a miraculous story.
Mm.
If you, I don't know if you're interested.
Yeah, in, yeah, sure.
You know, I had to sign the contract to leave Volkswagen. And yeah, before there was happening something, I said, okay, God, I would go to I would leave Volkswagen, go to Bible college, but you know, I need some money because I had to pay for the study.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then I had to pay my my apartment. Yeah. And I needed 1,000 euros a month for everything, for travel, for the car, for everything. So I said, God, I want to go, but I don't have the money. I started to sell my old timer. I had an old timer, a Fiat from the year 59.
Oh, wow.
I sold the old timer. I sold my motorcycle. I sold everything I had to go to Bible college, but the money wasn't enough because the study will take 48 months.
Mm.
Plus 12 other months, so 60 months. I need 60,000 euros. Then I thought, how can I go to my boss and tell her? And she was a dragon. You can call it dragon. Dragon. How can I tell her I will leave Volkswagen for becoming a pastor? I said, I can go. I can go.
Yeah.
And then Volkswagen got into a crisis. And Volkswagen sent an email to all employees and said, if you will leave Volkswagen till the 30th of September, you will get a bonus.
Hmm.
So, and this bonus was 64,000 euros
for
me. And I needed 60,000.
No way. Oh, my word.
Yes. And the Bible college started at the 3rd of October. So if you leave till 30th of September,
wow.
And I said, I could start 3 days later.
Yeah.
And it was perfectly guided. God
opened that door up for you.
I was scared to go and to sign the contract. But someone told me this English saying, I said, if God guides, he provides.
Mm-hmm.
And then something happened the night before I went to sign the contract for leaving Volkswagen. You know, in my mind, I was saying, yeah, I will sign the contract. And what my daddy says, okay, I signed the contract. But I was scared.
Absolutely.
I was scared. And the night before I was signing, I had a dream. And in this dream, you know, as American, you don't like to hear this, but I saw two airplanes flying like it happened at
9/11,
but the airplanes fly into the big skyscraper of Volkswagen, and the skyscraper was destroyed completely.
Wow.
And then in the dream, I got an email, and in the email said, no bonus money if you will sign the contract. We have to build up the skyscraper. Volkswagen is in a crisis. And then I woke up and I said, okay, I need to sign
that contract
right now.
Yeah.
So, and then the next day I went, I signed the contract. Then I sent my papers to the Bible college and everything. And in the time of 15 minutes after I throw my letter, it's called,
you put it in the mail.
Put it in the mail.
Uh-huh.
So then I can apply to the Bible college. 15 minutes later, in 15 minutes, three calls on my phone. Sebastian, can you come to our church and preach on this or this or this Sunday? So it was like a confirmation by God.
Oh my
you have
word.
Done the right thing.
Yeah. Wow. That's a pretty amazing story. So how did your parents respond when you told them what you were doing?
They left. Mm. They left Germany. Mm. My father calmed down a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Quickly.
Mm-hmm.
My mom was in a bad situation for herself. She was she had call it psychological problems.
Psychological, like mental health,
and not burnout. She was depression.
Depressed. Yeah,
she was depressed. Very depressed. And she said, "If I don't go to Italy, there is the sun. I will took my life and something." She told me afterwards. I didn't know. I was too young. I didn't understand.
Yeah.
And she said to my father, "If you won't come to Italy with me, I will divorce."
Wow.
So, and then he went to Volkswagen and he signed the contract with tears in his eyes. And then they also left.
Mm.
He also got bonus money and they left to Italy.
Mm.
And then I started Bible college and it was hard.
Yeah.
It was really hard because then I came home from Fritzlar. I visited home every Friday. It was 200 kilometers, Wolfsburg to Fritzlar. And I was alone.
Yeah, your family.
Only the rest of the family was there. Yeah,
but you had siblings there still? Your siblings were still there?
Yeah, my uncle, my aunt.
Okay.
So, and friends, but no parents, no brother.
Yeah.
It was hard. So it was a sacrifice.
Yeah.
This 4 years of Bible college was a sacrifice.
Wow. You know, for me, growing up in a Christian home, I had that support system from my family, you know, in what I was doing. So I can't imagine putting myself in your shoes, what that would have been like, and being alone, virtually alone through that. I'm sure God brought people around you during
yes.
that time. And
yes, he did. And then there was my future wife, Mary.
Yeah.
And it was hard, but also God provided for me emotionally, financially. God provided in everything.
Mm.
And then a few years later, my dad came back with my brother.
Mm.
So they're living in kind of divorce situation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They're not divorced, but it's not easy.
Yeah.
It's not easy. So I know what a broken family means.
Gives you an opportunity to relate to people in your church maybe who have gone through or are going through something like that.
Yeah, in our city, maybe it's interesting for the listeners, Wolfsburg is the city with the highest rate of divorce in Germany.
Oh, wow.
On 2011, we had a divorce rate from 63%.
Oh, my word.
Wow. It's a lot.
In your church? Did
we have a lot of people who divorced, then came to Christ. And sometimes people call us the church with the most divorced people. But it's a wonderful church.
Yeah.
And the church where I got to know Christ is now the church which I'm pastoring.
Yeah, that's great.
I'm really, really honored to be there. It's,
great.
It's a good place for my heart to be there.
Yeah. So what kind of church do you want your church to be?
Oh, that's a good question. I hope it will be the church Jesus wants us to be. But our church right now is a church who is, we try to be modern, God-centered, and a church where you can feel, God, not only know something with your mind, but also with your heart.
Mm-hmm.
So, but very God-centered with a clean theology, I hope.
Yeah.
Yeah. But alive.
Yeah.
Church is alive.
Yeah. Maybe just share, again, majority of our listeners are from the U.S. and have that American context. And so maybe just share a little bit. What is the German culture like? So your city's in this kind of the southern part of Germany?
No, is in that, the northern part of
it's
Germany.
It's in the northern part of Germany? My German geography is terrible.
Oh,
so I'm learning. I'm learning. And I will get there.
It's okay, man. It's okay.
All right. So northern part of Germany.
Northern part. It's in between Hanover and Berlin.
Okay. Okay. Yep. That I know where those two places are. So that helps me. And what's the culture in your city like in terms of what is it that people, when they hear church or God or Jesus or pastors, like what's their initial thoughts or reaction?
Okay, I have to give you some background.
Mm-hmm.
So when the city was founded, a Nazi general stood on the highest place of the city, and he said, "This city, when we will found it, will be a city with no new churches."
Mm.
So we had a Catholic church, mm-hmm, and the Lutheran state church.
Mm-hmm.
Say no new churches. Thank God, he wasn't a good prophet.
Yeah.
So people came to Wolfsburg to work.
Mm.
So they produced military machines for the Second World War, and Hitler chose this city strategically because it's right in the
middle.
It's in the middle, mm-hmm, so it can be attacked by the enemies.
Mm-hmm.
And people came and worked,
mm-hmm,
like sorry for the word, but they worked like animals.
Mm-hmm.
They work and work and work, and they define themselves by the amount of money they make.
Mm.
They made. So there was no culture,
mm-hmm,
no music, no culture, no theater,
very industrial,
very, very
working class.
Industrial working class, exactly.
Yeah.
So
family oriented?
No, because people work from 6 to 2, from 2 to 10, from 10 to 6. So there was no family rhythm.
Wow.
So very, your not only your body was attacked by this kind of work, but also by your family.
Yeah.
So industrial city, working hard, everything, and no focus on spirituality.
Mm.
You know, when the Nazis took over in Germany, they destroyed all the paintings,
mm-hmm,
they destroyed
the arts, all the cultural.
They took away everything.
Yeah.
So, and we, as a new city founded by the Nazis, they had all chances to build up the city like they want to.
Yeah.
So it was for them a perfect city.
Yeah.
So there's no rush hour in Wolfsburg. So the streets are good. It's perfectly organized.
Yeah.
German.
Yeah.
So, but if there isn't a sense for spirituality, it's very difficult to speak with the people about God, because they say, "Hey, we earn so much money. We are God.
Hmm.
We don't need a God. We only have to work and then spend the money and have fun."
Mm-hmm.
So, but at the beginning, but now people see that money isn't making them happy.
Yeah.
And the big house and the second new car, because we are the city with the most new cars in whole Germany, so we are not happy. So, and that's for me the hook. I can speak with the people. I say, "Okay, mm-hmm, you have two cars, nice house, you have everything, mm-hmm, three times a year holiday, but what about your soul?
Mm.
Your soul is crying out for someone,
mm,
who gives you rest."
Mm-hmm.
And then we can speak with the people.
Mm-hmm. They understand that.
They understand. And then we try to be a church who is in between the Catholic Church and the Lutheran Church. We are in Germany, we are called Free Church.
Mm-hmm.
And people ask, "What is a free church? Are you Catholic? Are you Lutheran?" I say, no, we are free. We can decide how to interpret the Bible and say,
mm-hmm,
and then we can speak. And then people come. We have modern music.
Mm-hmm.
Our sermons are on time. Or you?
So you're not preaching an hour and 45 minute sermons?
No.
These days?
Is no, in Germany we say you can preach about everything, but not over 20 minutes.
20 minutes.
No, my sermons are 30 minutes. Yeah. Our YouTube listeners will turn off their device if I will preach more than 35 minutes, maybe.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah, we try to speak their language.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so what are some of the good things happening in your church these days?
These days, you know, we have COVID-19 is all around the world.
Never heard of it. I never heard of that.
Sorry. But we try to open up the church as much as we can. we as a board of elders of the church, we say, if things are allowed, we are doing it. Mm-hmm. We are not scared that COVID-19 will took over, because we think God is on control. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we will treat this thing very respectfully. Mm-hmm. Everything we can do, we will do. But we will leave the church doors open because people need Christ. Mm-hmm. So the good things which are happening is the church is full. Mm. People are coming. 90% of our people are back.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
At the beginning of COVID-19, there was not sure, shall we come, shall we not come? Now they are coming. And in 2021, we have celebrated 3 baptisms in a year. For a German church, it's a lot.
That is amazing.
So, and the last service I will share with the listeners was for me one of the
most exciting.
Yeah, well, not the most exciting, but very exciting, because old people came and say, you know, Sebastian, since 60 years I'm a Christian and I didn't baptized.
Hmm.
Yeah. I had all the answers because I shall not baptize, but I know I have to baptize.
Wow.
So we had a baptism of an 82 old man, 81 years, 80 lady, then 79, 65, 52, and 13 years.
Wow.
So it was this. So, and we are celebrating 2 church services, one at 9:30 and one at 11 a.m. And it was a blessing for everybody.
That's awesome.
And you know, one thing was very special. The 82 year old man, it was very difficult for him to go in the
baptismal.
Yeah, in the baptismal. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And when he came out, he was standing there like the gladiator. he lifted his arm. He turned to the church and he said, "Jesus lived. Jesus lives."
Oh, wow.
Oh, and this was a heartbreaking moment in a positive way.
Yeah.
Oh, it was good. So we experienced a lot of good things, but Nate, a lot of, there is coming a lot of wind in our face and the devil knows how he can he will destroy the church work.
Yeah, just attacks and that sort of thing. So with that, what are some of the challenges you guys are facing right now? Some of the things that are blowing back into your face, as you say.
No, in 2019 and 2020, we were sensing, hey, the devil is attacking the marriages very heavy. Mm-hmm. So, and we as a board of elders had to deal with marriage counseling a lot. Mm. So then in 2021, we make the experience that the devil was attacking friendships. Mm. Good friends, old friends were fighting against you. Not fighting, but they were disagreeing about a lot of things. So we had to counsel them. And it was another phase another season. Yeah. And now I say, okay, what's coming in the next season? Which kind of attacks are coming? I hope they will not be so bad like in 2019 and in 2021.
But
we have some problems you don't know in the US.
Yeah,
you don't
I'm
have
sure.
these problems,
don't have
in,
any
the
problems
US.
In the US.
No.
No problems. So the name of this podcast, we call it A World of Good. And so one of the questions we always want to ask is, what good is God doing in your world today?
In my personal world or in the church?
Either one, however you want to answer that.
I'm experiencing right now a lot of peace in my marriage. Mm. A lot of peace in raising our children.
Mm-hmm.
And a real good understanding for each other in the marriage.
Yeah,
we had some troubles before, but now it's good. This is my
that's
world
great.
Of good.
Yeah, yeah,
and
that's
in the
great.
Church, we have a real good attitudes in the eldership, an attitude towards each other.
Mm-hmm.
We meet every Monday.
Mm-hmm.
We don't look at the watch.
Mm-hmm.
And we sit there and talk and speak and we are visioning, or you call it.
Yeah.
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 And we love the church. Mm. So this is really, really good.
How many are part of your elder body, your elder
we
group?
We are eight.
Eight of you.
Eight people, yeah.
And you work as a team together.
Yeah, we're a team. We are friends. We speak a lot with each other. Mm. Even we are not in the meetings.
Mm-hmm.
So we visit each other. And so we are friends.
Oh, that's great. That's great.
It's good community.
It's necessary.
Yes.
It's necessary, yes, as a pastor, as,
yes,
a leader. So.
Yes, yes.
Well, Sebastian, thank you so much for sharing your story, hearing how God has used you, how he's worked in your life. And so, again, you did great as sharing your story in your third language.
Thank you very
that
much.
That was perfect. That
thank
was
you.
Perfect.
And thank you, Nate.
Yeah.
You have a really appreciating way of speaking to people. Mm. I'm touched.
Thank you
very much, and God bless you, your family, and all the Church of God family in the U.S.
Yeah.
You are in my heart. I visited Anderson.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you visited Anderson, and you did an internship or something at Church of the Crossing, correct?
I've done an internship for 5 weeks at the Church of God in Edmonton in Canada, and then for 1 week I visited my teacher Steve Rennick.
Ah,
hi, Steve. Is
yeah.
your listening? Then I also met Jim Lyon.
Uh-huh.
Hi, Jim.
Uh-huh.
And I spent one of the days of Christmas with Andrew mm-hmm. Gale.
There we go. My co-host and my boss.
Yeah.
So
Andrew, I can say Nate is doing great. Yeah, he's doing great. Thank you for sending him to Europe.
I'll pay you later. All right. Thank you, Sebastian.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to A World of Good. A World of Good is a podcast production of Global Strategy and Church of God Ministries. Our theme song is Colorado by Leo Flores. If you want to join the conversation, visit us at Twitter at A World of Good Pod, on Instagram, A World of Good Podcast, or visit our website, chogglobal.org/A World of Good. And join us next time as we share more stories of good from around the world.